The last presidential debate before the election was more civil than the one before. The moderator, who is known to be anti-Trump, actually did better. But still, she interrupted Trump 24 times and Joe Biden just twice. The questions she provided were in areas that protected Biden more than Trump. Like her NBC network, she failed to dig deep into the issue of Hunter Biden's emails and his receiving hundreds of millions of dollars from China, Ukraine, and others, or the email that described how H was to get 10% of the deal to give to the big guy. Trump tried to get that answer, but Biden evaded it. Now we know what Joe Biden was doing for the past 5 days. He was cloistered in his basement, trying to memorize evasive answers. Biden continued to talk about his plans, but gave no real specifics. He said, "Not true," many times, "and we have no honest mainstream media to fact-check Biden's claims." In the smirking contest, Joe Biden was far ahead of Trump. The oil-rich states like Texas and Pennsylvania heard Biden say he intended to destroy that industry, and that should come back to haunt him. What struck me the most was when Biden claimed that he never said he would end fracking. Those statements by Biden are on tape and easily proven. He did not condition those statements as he tried to claim in this debate. He said flat out that he would ban fracking. The moderator should have called him on it, but did not. If you were not already convinced that the media and the Democrat Party were both tied together and both dishonest, you had only to look at the events of mid-October and this last debate. First, ABC held a so-called town hall featuring Joe Biden and with George Stephanopoulos as moderator. George is a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat with deep ties to the Clintons and totally biased. He tossed softballs to Biden and allowed him to rattle on incessantly without interruption. For his part, Joe Biden spewed lie after lie without being challenged by Stephanopoulos. The biggest scandal in recent history was never even mentioned by Stephanopoulos. That would be the recent revelations that Joe Biden's son, Hunter, was using the vice president as a debit card in dealing with foreign governments that Joe oversaw. There appears to be evidence that Joe Biden himself was being cut in on the profits. True or not, and it does appear to be true, that should have been the first question asked of Biden. Stephanopoulos never even mentioned it. The fix was in. Over on NBC, the Trump town hall was a completely different picture. The moderator was Savannah Guthrie, married to a Democrat operative and who made no secret of her disdain for the president. Guthrie constantly interrupted the president and focused on inane questions like how much debt he personally had and why he didn't condemn white superiority. First, Trump owns a lot of real estate and hotels. They have mortgages on them, just like our homes. And of course that means debt. Frankly, it was none of this woman's business, nor ours. As for the condemnation of white superiority, Donald Trump has repeatedly condemned it. On March 6, 2016, he again condemned white superiority, David Duke, and the Ku Klux Klan. Savannah Guthrie had to know that, or she wasn't much of a journalist. NBC had been under pressure not to allow Trump to have a town hall meeting, and Guthrie was tasked with the responsibility of using that forum to destroy the president. She showed no shame as she left little time for the people attending to ask questions of their president. Guthrie dominated the allowed time in a hostile manner, never letting Trump complete a thought. Savannah Guthrie lost all credibility in that forum. As for Democrats, the dog and pony show they put on in the Senate hearing of Judge Amy Coney Barrett was shameful. That woman is eminently qualified to replace the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court, and Democrats had no evidence to prove otherwise. So they used the time to attack the president and try to embarrass Judge Barrett. While they all chimed in, the worst was Richard Blumenthal and Mazie Hirono. Blumenthal is a booze hound and a liar. For political advantage, he claimed to have served in Vietnam. The closest Blumenthal ever got to Vietnam was a Vietnamese restaurant that had 2-for-1 cocktails. Blumenthal was obnoxious. Then came the moron from Hawaii, Mazie Hirono, who showed the same lack of respect to Judge Barrett as she did for the Brett Kavanaugh nomination. At one point, this awful woman asked Judge Barrett if she had ever sexually assaulted anyone. To ask such a question required some evidence that such an attack had occurred, and Hirono had no such evidence, not even a rumor. Judge Barrett kept her cool and simply answered, no. Judge Barrett will be confirmed to the Supreme Court, and Democrats know it. Their gripe is that RBG died before President Trump's 4-year term ended and Republicans could control the Senate. If the shoe was on the other foot, Democrats would not have hesitated to rush a liberal replacement onto the court. They are the party of hypocrites and liars. I'm not accusing Democrat voters, just asking the question of the century. Are Democrat voters so loyal to a party tag that they are blind to reality? Are they not even willing to consider facts about their presidential candidates? The question is a deadly serious one that can drive our country into a socialist state. That's not hyperbole, it's a fact. Let's begin with the obvious question. Do the voters, Democrat or Republican, have a right to know what a candidate will do once elected? In October, in answer to a direct question from a potential voter, Joe Biden said, no, the voters don't have the right to know what the candidates are planning to do. Biden said he'd tell us after he's elected. That question came as a result of the speculation that a Biden-Harris ticket would stack the Supreme Court. Such a move would destroy democracy as we know it. Biden cannot answer that question, because if he said no, they would not stack the court. It would bring the socialists like Bernie Sanders, Ocasio-Cortez, and Elizabeth Warren down on him. To get their endorsement of his candidacy, Biden had to agree to their agenda, and that agenda calls for stacking the Supreme Court. If Biden had said yes, the American public would know for sure that the Biden-Harris ticket intended to stack the court, and they would turn against them. But to blatantly spit in the face of the voters shows the hypocrisy and deceit of Joe Biden. It's outrageous that the Biden-Harris ticket will not answer the court-packing question, and how unabashedly, even glibly, they go about insulting our intelligence while demurring. Moreover, it should even shock the far left to hear Biden and Harris both lie about their stance on fracking. Kamala Harris is on the record, more than once, saying that she opposes and would get rid of fracking. Joe Biden is even more dishonest about it than Harris. On multiple occasions, Biden has promised to get rid of fracking if elected. Biden has brazenly looked into TV cameras and promised to get rid of fracking. In a recent interview, Biden moved his face closer to a young woman and promised that he would ban fracking. There are many videos of Biden saying he would ban fracking in meetings. Yet, under pressure, both Biden and Harris have denied they would ban fracking. They are both lying through their teeth, with the evidence of those lies staring them in the face. The extreme agenda Joe Biden has promised the radical left to get their support would destroy this country. Democrats, both Biden and Harris, are lying to you to deceive you into voting for them and putting them in the White House. But anyone who believes that a doddering, mixed-up old man like Joe Biden would be running the country if elected is a prime buyer for oceanfront property in Arizona. His puppeteers include Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Ocasio-Cortez, and her gang of three. Let's turn now to Biden's pick for vice president. Here are some things you should know. Kamala Devi Harris was born in Oakland, California, on October 20, 1964. The eldest of two children born to Shyamala Gopalan, a cancer researcher from India, and Donald Harris, an economist from Jamaica. Her mother chose Kamala's name as a nod to her Indian roots. Kamala means lotus and is another name for the Hindu goddess Lakshmi. Notice that her name was not chosen from African roots. Kamala Harris visited India as a child and was heavily influenced by her Indian grandfather. She ran for political office in California as a self-proclaimed Indian American. To get a leg up in politics, no pun intended, Harris began sleeping with Willie Brown, a man 30 years her senior. Brown was a powerful politician in California and squired Harris around while he promoted her into better jobs. She even attended a banquet on the arm of Willie Brown with Brown's wife in attendance. That speaks to the character of Willie Brown, but speaks even louder as to the character of Kamala Harris. Once Harris gained political office in California, she no longer needed Willie Brown. I share credit today with Kevin Jackson of the Black Spear and factcheck.org for the following. Democrats and cable pundits are sounding the victory bell a little prematurely. According to leftists, Kamala Harris is the perfect candidate to mobilize a younger demographic. But once young voters dig a little deeper, even leftists will have a hard time aligning themselves with Biden's new sidekick. In fact, when Harris was California Attorney General, she gave a speech in front of the Ford Foundation, and in that speech, she called young people stupid. Obviously, Joe Biden puts his foot in his mouth every time he appears in public. Thus, Democrats are employing a new strategy of hiding Biden. And it looks like picking Kamala Harris will bring more of the same. Embarrassing moments Democrats cannot erase from the public memory. When it comes to stupid remarks, Harris definitely is Biden's soul sister. Remember when she claimed to smoke marijuana and that she listened to Tupac during her college days? She even threw in Snoop Dogg for good measure. The problem was that neither Tupac nor Snoop Dogg were on the radio at that time. They hadn't even put out an album. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Harris claims she sued ExxonMobil as California Attorney General, but that was rated false by the liberal PolitiFact. And let's not forget about when the left failed to stop Justice Kavanaugh's appointment to the Supreme Court. Harris was chosen as the Democrats' attack dog. And among other things, she accused Kavanaugh of saying birth control methods could be considered abortion-inducing drugs. Of course, she completely left out the context that Kavanaugh actually referred to. Just to set the record straight, Kavanaugh acknowledged that providing birth control could be a conflict of religious beliefs for a Catholic nonprofit group, Priests for Life. Further, Kamala's place in the Me Too movement is meritless. As she once said, she believed Biden's accusers. For her to join forces with him now proves she's a complete and utter fake, even by leftist standards. In 2018, Kamala Harris accused a Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, of rape. She tried to block him from the court and ruin the man's reputation, even though there was no real evidence of him raping anybody. She said she believed his accuser, who had come out of the woodwork at the 11th hour. In April 2019, Harris accused Joe Biden of rape. She said she believed the women who had accused Biden of inappropriate touching and sexual misconduct. But now that she is the running mate for Biden, she tells us she supports him. In September 2020, a violent rapist was shot by police after resisting arrest. Harris ignored the victim and law enforcement when she went to visit the rapist in the hospital and said she was proud of him. She did and said all of this simply for political gain. She has no real values or moral conscience. Kamala Harris will say and do anything to gain votes. Just ask Willie Brown. That's not to mention her fake Southern accent. That's reserved for speeches that she makes down south. Or the fact that Harris pocketed campaign contributions from Jeffrey Epstein's law firm shortly after debunking the rich and privileged. It is a fact that Kamala Harris grew up privileged, and it's highly hypocritical for her to now attack other privileged people for political gain. Whether you call him Creepy Joe, Sleepy Joe, Joey Fingers, or Captain Demento, being a household name is not enough to win this election. So Biden set out to find a gimmick. What better than to bring with him the first woman as vice president? Add to her female prowess that she is either black or Indian, depending upon what day it is. Biden had to read from a script to make Harris his official choice. They dare not let him speak any words that haven't been written for him. In the debate last night, you could see him looking down at his notes to read what he was supposed to say. November 3rd is just a few days away. Based on Joe Biden's performance over the past 47 years, you'd think he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning. But with the mainstream media's support and Biden's gimmick of finding a pot-smoking, two-pack-listening Indian, African-American woman to be his co-pilot, it could happen. But Joe has to realize, as he snuggles next to his co-pilot, that some flights never reach their destination. Let's fact-check Senator Kamala Harris. She said there would be no middle-class tax hike. Biden has also repeated that lie. It's on the list of 2019's Whoppers of the Year. In a tweet, Harris cited preliminary IRS tax refund data to criticize the Republican tax law as a middle-class tax hike. But that's not what the data showed. A day after the Washington Post reported in February 2019 that the average tax refund check was down $170 for 2019, as compared with 2018, based on preliminary IRS data, Harris used that figure and added, quote, "Let's call the president's tax cut what it is, a middle-class tax hike to line the pockets of already wealthy corporations and the 1%. But as Howard Gleckman, a senior fellow at the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center, said, quote, "Refunds are not the same as taxes that you owe. Refunds tell you nothing about whether a person's tax liability has changed. In fact, the majority of middle-class taxpayers received a tax cut in 2018 under the new law." In a CNN town hall on January 28, 2019, the ultra-liberal host Jake Tapper asked Harris about criticism we're hearing of you from the left during her time as California's Attorney General. He asked why, as Attorney General, she opposed state legislation that would have required your office to investigate fatal shootings involving police officers. Harris mistakenly claimed she did not oppose the 2015 bill. On May 18, 2015, Harris said the current process of investigating civilian deaths by local law enforcement is effective enough. In a May 12, 2019 interview on CNN's State of the Union, Harris acknowledged that a 2010 state truancy law she sponsored resulted in some parents being jailed, but she mistakenly claimed that jailing parents was an unintended consequence of the state law. In fact, the law added Section 270.1 to the California Penal Code to allow prosecutors to fine or jail a parent who has failed to reasonably supervise and encourage school attendance. Under that law, which took effect in 2011, a parent could face up to a year in jail or a $2,000 fine. As the San Francisco District Attorney, Harris sponsored a state Senate bill, Senate Bill 1317, that was introduced by State Senator Mark Leno, who was also from San Francisco. Harris was a San Francisco District Attorney from 2004 to 2011. When Tapper asked about parents being jailed under the law, Harris stumbled around and said, "What ended up happening is by changing the education code, it also changed it by reference then was in the penal code. And then that was an unintended consequence." The possibility of jailing parents was not an unintended consequence, and the bill did not change the education code. Harris must have been aware of the new penalties because she referenced them after taking the oath of office as the California Attorney General in January 20. In her inaugural address, Harris said that she was putting parents on notice that they would face the full force and consequences of the law if their kids miss many days of school. In launching her presidential campaign in California in January 2019, Harris said that paychecks aren't keeping up with the cost of living. But the Bureau of Labor Statistics data showed inflation-adjusted weekly earnings had gone up in the previous year since President Donald Trump took office. According to BLS, real, meaning inflation-adjusted, average weekly earnings for the rank-and-file production and non-supervisory workers at the time had gone up 2.5% since Trump took office. It was simply another Kamala Harris lie. The average real weekly earnings of all private sector workers had increased by 2.4% during the Trump tenure. Back in March 2019, Harris was one of several Democrats who claimed that Trump was raiding money from military pensions to fund construction of his promised border wall. But the basis of their claims, a news story, said the Pentagon could use leftover funds in these accounts due to lower-than-expected recruits and fewer early retirements. An Associated Press story said the Army missed a recruiting goal by 6,500 enlistees, and there were fewer take-ups of an early retirement incentive. The Pentagon wanted to move $1 billion from those funds to provide some of the money for the wall under Trump's National Emergency Declaration. Todd Harrison, Director of Defense Analysis at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, said it was not true that what the Pentagon had proposed would cut military pay or suspensions. "It's leftover money," Harrison said. "The Army is going to have leftover money in its personnel account because it did not meet recruiting goals. As for the pension money," Harrison said, "the Defense Department sets aside money every year to contribute to pensions. But when there are fewer service members than expected because the Army doesn't meet its goal, the Department doesn't need to contribute as much to pension funds. It absolutely would not affect anyone's current pension," he said. In June 2019, the Democratic debate, Harris pushed back against Trump's claims that the economy was doing great. She said, "Well, yeah, people in America are working. They're working two and three jobs." But according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, The percentage of American workers who held multiple jobs at the time was 5%, virtually unchanged from the percentage of 4.9% when Trump was inaugurated in January 2017. As of February 2020, prior to the declaration of the corona pandemic in March, 5.1% of the employed individuals held multiple jobs. In an August 2019 interview, Harris wrongly claimed that as many as 300,000 auto workers may be out of a job before the end of the year. She was referring to a study by the Center for Automotive Research or the potential impact of the trade embargo. But the study said as many as 366,900 total jobs, economy-wide, could be lost in a worst-case scenario. Then, in both November and July 2019 debates, Harris wrongly suggested that figures representing the pay gap between full-time, year-round male and female workers were for men and women doing equal work. Since 1963, when we passed the Equal Pay Act, we have been talking about the fact women are not paid equally for equal work. Fast forward to the year of our Lord, 2019, and women are paid 80 cents on the dollar. Black women, 61 cents. Native Americans, 58 cents. Latinos, 53 cents. Harris said in round two of the Democrat debates that she appeared to be cutting figures the National Partnership for Women and Families published in May 2019, but the statistics are not representative of men and women doing the same work. You can trust Kamala Harris about as much as you can trust Joe Biden. I have been a registered independent voter for more than 20 years, but regardless of the outcome of the 2020 election, I will be returning to the Republican Party, not because I believe in all they stand for, but because I cannot believe in anything the socialists hijacking the Democrat Party stands for. My country's too important to me to allow socialism to gain control. Thank you for your time today. I'll be back again next week, God willing, same time, same station, and God bless America.